In our reading this morning, the people of God are thirsty again. There's no water for them to drink. They're at the beginning of a difficult journey through the wilderness, and it is a life-threatening thirst. Extreme dehydration is threatening their lives. This is just another trial that God is leading them through. They should have said to themselves, "Here we go again." Not long ago, God made the contaminated water drinkable. He provided the manna and the quail. God will provide again. That's what they should have said. He's been among us through previous trials. He will be among us through this one that we're currently in. But they don't. Instead, their behavior is spiraling out of control. They test God's patience and they ask, "Is the Lord among us or not? Give us water to drink," they demand Moses. Instead of praying for God to deliver them as he had done so before, faithfully, they verbally abuse Moses, the prophet. "Why did you, Moses, bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" they ask, which is really more of an accusation than a question. When our relationship with God is strained and weak, when our trust in him fails, anxiety sets in, as you see here among God's people. Discord and broken relationships follow. And we begin to think irrationally. We blame others for our problems. We choose to attack and mistrust one another because we do not trust in God. You'll remember what happens immediately after our first parents fell into sin. After eating the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the devil. And so the Israelites blame Moses. They lose sight of the God who delivered them from bondage out of Egypt, and they lose sight of the God who's promised to take them safely to the promised land. And so it is for us. When we lose sight of the God who created us, we will lose sight of the God who promises to sustain us. The one who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. When we lose sight of the God who saved us, we might lose sight of the God who promises to sanctify and sustain us. When we try to live out our lives by our own strength, by our own understanding, when we think thoughts that lack faith in the God who provides, we become as hopeless as the Israelites who ask, "Is God among us or not?" And Moses and God's answer to that question is a resounding yes. God tells Moses to take the same staff with which he struck the Nile, to take the same stick that God used to deliver them from the plagues in Egypt. You'll remember those stories, how the Israelites were slaves and captives in Egypt under the tyranny of Pharaoh. And you'll remember how God sent Moses to tell old Pharaoh to let his people go. And each time Moses brought his staff. And each time Pharaoh said no, and God would send another plague. God tells Moses to take that same staff God used for the 10 plagues. Moses was instructed now to strike the Nile with that staff, and now the rock. When he struck the Nile with the staff, "The fish of the Nile shall die," God said, "and the Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will grow weary of drinking water from the Nile." God himself contaminated that water and drove the Egyptians to thirst through that rod of Moses. So much so that they had to dig new wells when they became thirsty. The rod that God used to contaminate the water of their enemies, the rod that God used to drive their oppressors to thirst, is that same rod that God will use to provide water and satisfy the thirst of his people. God's solution is to use that same rod of Moses that delivered them in the past to deliver them at the present, in the future. And God, by doing so, tells them a story. He's assuring them that the God who was faithful to them in the past will bring them safely to their future. God struck the Nile with a wooden rod in judgment, and now he will strike the rock with a wooden rod of mercy. And that's exactly what Moses does. He strikes the rock, and water comes gushing out, and they drink from that rock and live. Hundreds of years later, the Apostle Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians the story that they drank the same spiritual drink from that rock. And they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. This is the same rock who would later be struck again by the wooden rod of the cross. Calvary will strike Jesus with a death blow, and grace, mercy, and love will come gushing out like living water, a flow and a torrent of God's goodness will come out for all people. When the Samaritan woman meets the rock at the well in our gospel reading, we see just how many barriers Jesus crosses to reach her, just how many obstacles in that day Jesus overcomes. Her ethnicity, her religion, her gender, this rock brings living water to all people. There's even less reason for us to be anxious or doubt the presence of God. This living water, this rock who has come to us, Jesus Christ. Is the Lord among us or not? He was among us for the Israelites when they thirsted in the desert. He is among us and will be among us when we thirst in our desert and wilderness journey. Maybe that's what the psalmist was thinking about when he boasted in the Lord and said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Yes, the Lord is among you. The rock of ages will quench our thirst for our journey ahead. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live." I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.